You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hey, guys. Welcome to
the movie show
on your favorite
O-R-S-P-S.
And your one and only ORSPS.
Your one and only.
You've never heard that before, have you?
Online radio station podcasting service. I'm Sash.
My name's Ryan.
And this week, who done it?
Well, we'll see how they run it.
Okay, no, wait. Wait, before we start the show. Well, we started the show technically already, but before we continue with the show.
Okay.
So, at the end of this movie, See How They Run, the main character, who's played by Sam Rockwell, turns around and speaks directly to the camera, breaks the fourth wall, and says, don't spoil it for others.
Oh,
so,
yes.
We are going to honor that request, and we are not going to talk about who killed Adrian Brody's character.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, you're not going to know. You have to watch the film, but we are going to talk about this film.
I actually forgot about that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I totally would have broken the fifth wall.
The fifth wall. So, it's a 2022 mystery comedy. It's 1 hour and 38 minutes long. It's directed by Tom George, who is actually not a well-known director. He's a British director, and when I searched other projects that he's done, it's mainly British TV series. So, there's one called This Country, and there's an actor, Charlie Cooper, who's in... He plays the very tall, skinny theater
dude.
Yes, Dennis.
Yeah.
So, he is in This Country along with his sister. They play... It's like a reality show. Yeah. And then when they obviously got the script and they were wanting to make the film. At first, Hugh Grant and Keira Knightley were supposed to be cast as the two, so Saoirse Ronan and Sam Rockwell's character. Personally, though, I'm glad it didn't go that way. Not that I have anything against Keira Knightley and Hugh Grant, but I just feel like it would have been a very different film if they hadn't gone with Saoirse Ronan and Sam Rockwell. And then... Yeah. I think first 20th Century Fox wanted to make the film. Then it kind of fell through. Then Disney bought shares of 20th Century Fox and then made it. That's why in the beginning you have, I think it's called Fox Searchlight.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah. And then they started casting, and the first person that they casted was Saoirse Ronan. And then obviously the cast got very. It had a lot of, like, big names in it. I mean, you've got Saoirse Ronan, Adrian Brody, you've got Sam Rockwell. Like, it's big actors.
I didn't recognize anybody.
You didn't? No.
Okay, except for Adrian.
And Saoirse Ronan, right?
I didn't even know it was her, to be honest with you.
I think I know her very well as an actress because she's Irish, and I was just like, her accent is awesome!
Yeah.
Her accent is awesome, and she uses it in this. But then what happened was the director, Tom, he actually started freaking out because he's quite a small-town director, he's directing is brilliant, but he hadn't really done anything big. He was kind of more on, like, the British television series scene. So he was kind of freaking out, so he contacted Charlie Cooper and said to him, please would you come on this project with me, because they've obviously worked together and apparently they're friends. So he said to him, please will you come on and just be like my like backup, to, because obviously he was quite nervous to have this like all-star cast and work with this all-star cast.
And you're supposed to know what you look like, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, because you're the director. So, but I personally think he did a brilliant job. I loved this movie. Honestly, it could be my favorite murder mystery film.
It had a very...
Wes Anderson feel.
Yes, that's it.
I felt like I was watching. It was so nice.
I was like, when we first started, I was just like... Is this a Wes Anderson film?
And Saoirse Ronan and Adrian Brody are both two actors to have acted in a lot of Wes Anderson films. So like the fact that they were in it as well, but just everything, I loved it. And the comedy was so good.
I wonder if it's a Tom, like if the Wes Anderson look and feel is a thing of his, or if that was sort of the inspiration, sort of the
I know when he said okay, the two films that he suggested to the actors to watch, I personally haven't watched them, but it's The Big Lebowski and The Death of Stalin. So those are the two films that he suggested to the cast
to
watch.
Wes Anderson.
I have no idea. It's a good question. I will check. But I think it was specifically from a comedy perspective, because obviously comedy was the heavy thing in this film. It was like, I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, because yeah, like the comedy was the comedy was so good. It honestly was so good. No, the Big Lebowski was directed by Ethan and Joel Coen.
Okay.
And then the death of... I don't know if it was maybe from a... Because, like, his cinematic style was very Wes Anderson, but from a comedy perspective... Yeah,
the colours, the... Sure, I was just like...
It really did feel...
The production.
Yeah, no, the death of Stalin
the
also...
The shots, not so much the... The cinematography part. So
yeah, more the set.
The shots, it's more like the colors, the complementary colors and all of that.
Suppose even the humor in a way, because Wes Anderson does do that like weird dark
quirky?
Humor in a way. Quirky humor,
Quirky, the dark humor,
But I loved how just the whole way they did the film. And this film, it has so many nods to real life. So, for example, in this film, so it's about, just a quick like synopsis, it's about a theater production called The Mousetrap, which is an actual Agatha Christie, yes, theater production.
Okay, cool.
Yes. And it happened in theater. So people have gone to watch The Mousetrap in theater. And then this... was the... So within the film, right, when the film starts, they mention that it's the 100th performance of The Mousetrap. That's why they celebrate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
Then, throughout the movie, there are two more productions that take place. So in total, by the end of the film, 102 of performances of The Mousetrap have taken place. Now, this October marks the 100... So it's been 102 years since... Agatha Christie published her first novel, which was the Mysterious Affairs Styles. So the fact that they made a nod to Agatha Christie being her first novel being 102 years old, plus they gave it 102 performances, was just a way for them to like honor the Countess. They literally call her the Countess of Crime, Agatha Christie. So like there's those nods. Plus on top of that, I don't know if you remember, there was a part in the film where they go to Scotland Yard and the head constable says to Sam Rockwell's character, I can't give you more detectives because we're busy with the Rillington Place murders.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'll give you, and then he gives her Saoirse Ronan, and he's like, ah. But now, the Rillington Place murders is an actual thing. So what happened was John Christie, he's not related to Agatha Christie. Well, I don't know actually, because they both have the surname Christie, but anyway, John Christie murdered at least 8 people, including his wife Ethel, by strangling them in his flat at 10 Rillington Place, Notting Hill, London. The bodies of 3 of Christie's victims were found in a wallpaper-covered kitchen alcove soon after he had moved out of Rillington Place during March 1953. Now, there was a movie made about his life called 10 Rillington Place, right? And it was made in 1971. It's a crime drama. And John Christie was played by Richard Attenborough, right?
That's right.
Now, Richard Attenborough is a character in this film. He is the main actor in the theater who still adopts the limp after Sam Rockwell's character comes to visit him.
Yeah.
Not the actual actor Richard Attenborough, as in someone else, I think his name something Harris plays Richard Attenborough, but Richard Attenborough originally did play in The Mousetrap. Did play the lead detective role in the Mousetrap, and soon after later went to play John Christie in 10 Rillington Place. So he switched roles from being a detective in a murder mystery to actually being the serial killer within a crime drama.
Yeah.
And that was, I think it was a series. But I thought that was that. So they also brought in, there's literally like real life references and even like real life situations that took place within this film.
They really drew up the connections.
Yeah. So, and then also, like, for example, this was just smart what they did. So Sam Rockwell's character had a limp.
Yeah.
And then Richard, so the character, Richard,
he picked it up.
Yes, he was like, oh, where'd you get your limp? Did you get it from the war? Yeah, I'm going to adopt that. And then he adopts it. So what they did was they actually
and
gave...
And even announced it.
Yes.
I have a detective with a something limp.
Limp, I got it in the war. And this, basically what it does is subconsciously it gives us, the audience, the perception that the two men are alike. And I don't know if you remember in the chase where Saoirse Ronan is trying to chase or find Sam Rockwell in the theater, she's still runs and tackles the character Richard Edinburgh and then says, oh sorry, I thought you were Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
But they'd already set up the fact that the two of them do look similar by the fact that he adopted the limp, and so like it was just, it was smart the way they did that.
Okay.
And then also the producer Wolf, his name was something Wolf, he was the one having the affair, he was an actual film producer as well, so those two characters are actually real life
characters, right?
Yes.
But
they were actually Richard is an actual actor. In fact, he was in the first Jurassic Parks. That's Richard,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, the older gentleman in Jurassic Park. He was in those films.
How about that?
And then this was my favorite part. I think it was my favorite part. So the ending of this film, there's no spoiler in this.
Yeah, shame we're not going to.
Yeah. But the ending of this film takes place exactly as the director that Adrian Brody plays. His name was Kopernik. So it takes place exactly how he storyboarded it earlier on in the film.
Yeah.
So he...
Yeah, that's
yes.
right.
Yes. So basically what happens is earlier on in the film, he's like, no, this is how I
but
want the film to
that,
end. And he literally like,
there's
yes.
There's that small bit of a... just because you're like, oh, no. That means because the person that... Yes.
But like, yeah. And then what happened was the director, Tom, he wanted to film the end of the film first, because then he said it would be easy to now just go and storyboard the end of the film that's already been filmed. But unfortunately, due to scheduling conflicts, they couldn't do that. So what they had to do is they literally had to sit down and storyboard both scenes and then try and keep them as accurate as possible to one another. And then obviously they had to film the scene where Adrian is busy saying, okay, this is what then the gun comes in the... And then he goes to the storyboard,
and then
they obviously had to film the end of the film with Chad, the car chase and the shootouts and all of that. But I love that. Like, I've never seen that in any movie I've ever watched. I was just like, they showed us the storyboard to the end of the film before the film ended. Oh, it was brilliant.
Gee.
It was so good.
I was just like, wait. Is he going to... No, she's not going to... Wait, is this... Wait, what does that all mean? Wait, what's going on?
So, it was insane. The other thing I loved about this film was Agatha Christie was an actual character in the movie.
You know, during the film, right in the beginning, when the director explains the whole... So
I loved him, and Adrian did such a good job at him.
He did. He almost gives this bit of a explanation or a definition about what a murder mystery is. You know, you get the suspect, and then like the person that it actually was is like the least expected type of thing.
And he still like says how he hates it, like
yes.
the cliche of a murder mystery. Yeah,
like during the film, because everyone's now a suspect, and like it's crazy because the way that I saw that was like a camera that is connected to a live feed that's pointed at the television that the camera feed's giving. You know, you start getting that look because there's like the play, and then there's like the actual movie that you're watching. And then, so
there's the murder mystery within the play, and
exactly.
then there's the murder mystery of the...
And the play is about the whole plot.
Do you know what's also insane? So the Mousetrap is a real murder mystery play by Agatha Christie, and it premiered at the Theatre Royal in Nottingham on the 6th of October 1952, and has continued to run to this day, making it the longest running play in the world. Sir Richard Attenborough and his wife Sheila Sim, who both are in this movie, the characters, were the first actors to play Sergeant Trotter and Molly Ralston, respectively, and a film adaptation was announced in 1959 to be produced by Edward Small and Victor Seville for United Artists, and it would have starred Tyrone Power and Maria Schell, but the film was never made, and Small produced the previous Christie adaptation, Witness for the Prosecution, in 1957. There eventually were two film versions of the play, but as portrayed in the film, The Mousetrap cannot be made into an English language film until at least 6 months after it has closed on the West End, and the longest break between shows was 14 months during the COVID-19 pandemic, but then it resumed again after that.
Ended.
So literally the Mousetrap is still playing to this day.
Yeah.
So that's why they haven't been able to make a film, The Mousetrap.
You know, if you think about it, they kind of did it clever because
they did.
They haven't made a film about The Mousetrap, but they've made a film about The Mousetrap.
Yes. And you know why it's called See How They Run? Because,
no,
you know, the nursery...
Okay,
so Agatha Christie had... She was well known for naming her novels after nursery rhymes, right? That she said she liked to take, like, the innocence of a nursery rhyme and turn it almost into, like, this bloody affair of murder and mystery and, yeah. But now, Three Blind Mice, the second line in the nursery rhyme is See How They Run.
Yeah.
And that's why they named this film See How They Run.
Yeah, I was just like, see who runs.
All the victims, all the suspects in opposite directions. Yeah.
Wow.
But I thoroughly, this film, honestly...
It's actually a very light-hearted
crime. It is. But at the same time, it's still got, like, thrilling moments. Like, especially at the end, you're like...
Because it was, like, the person and the motive. You're just like, what? Really? Okay.
Did you get... I didn't get it. I actually didn't get... I didn't guess who the murderer was. And watching interviews with the cast members and even other people that had watched the film, they also were like... They didn't... They had, like, speculations, but they were all...
I think I was so entertained about just
the
whole
story.
Production and, yeah, and the story and everything that I was just like...
It didn't really...
Wasn't really focused there. And like I said, while we were about halfway through the film already, I actually wanted to go and listen again in the beginning.
To what he said.
To that whole... Because I was like, wait, maybe the clue's there. Because it's like...
How brilliant, though, was that when he gets killed, the director. So there's obviously the mannequin with the coat and the hat. And then he walks up to it. And, like, you're already, like, on edge. Mm. And then it's just a mannequin. Then he turns around. And then when he turns back, there's the killer in the coat. That was brilliantly done. And then when he runs to the stage door, and it's obviously the brick, you're just like, ah. And then when she says he was killed in the costume room and then put here on the stage. And then she's like, what? It was staged or what?
Oh, yes. Yeah. No pun intended there.
Yeah.
Yes,
but Saoirse Ronan was very good. And I watched interviews where she actually said, because this is, she hasn't done a lot of comedy in her career, which is what intrigued her about this project. Mm. And she said she loves the comedy genre. So she's like, the fact that she got to be in this. But she said there are a lot of comedic actors within this. So it was quite nerve-wracking for her to pull off. And that's actually why she stuck with her Irish accent, because she said to the director, I need to use my normal accent for this so that I can actually focus on, like, delivering the... Because comedy is all about how you deliver the line. If you don't deliver it in the right way, it's not going to be funny. And so it's quite a bit of a job to get right. But she honestly was the funniest character for me.
She was.
So the fact that she was so nervous and, like, she was so... And everyone was funny. I mean, the whole cast was brilliant. But she really did do a good job with, like, leading the comedy. And I'm glad she stuck with the Irish accent because it did add to the character.
It.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying. I was so distracted by everything else, like her character and that. And Sam Rockwell.
And he's American. He's not British. Him and Adrian were the only two Americans to be in this film. Adrian kept his American accent because he was a failed American Hollywood director that left.
Well, yeah. I was very curious about his about why he's got an American accent. But if you remember, Sam Rockwell was the wolf in
Bad Guys.
In Bad Guys as well. So
he was also in Frost Nixon. I actually didn't realize he was in Frost Nixon.
That's
and he was in Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah. When I saw the films, I was also like, wait, what?
Yes, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
And then I was watching in an interview with Jimmy Kimmel. He was interviewed, because obviously in this, his character, he's a drunk detective. That's like his role.
I loved his costume. Like the costumes and everything. Was
no, the costumes were, they were very, very good. And he said, so Jimmy was asking, like, what's your method for acting drunk? And he said, someone, I can't remember who he said now, but someone gave him the advice to go to a bar, but not order alcohol, to order, like, a coffee or Coke or something, and then to watch drunk people, because obviously you have to pick up their mannerisms. And then he gave a few tips. Like, he said what some people do is they'll lean their body to one side and then try and walk straight, So obviously that will give you like that unsure sensation. But then another actor was like watching it. Someone else said you must relax your body before, so he was on set the one day relaxing his body, and this guy called him over, and he was like, simple solution to acting drunk. He said, bend over, like completely bend over, stand up quickly, and this is just before they say action, stand up quickly, you'll be completely dizzy, and then just do the scene. That was his advice for him acting drunk. So I was like, suppose that would do the trick, you know?
Guys, try it after our podcast.
And just make sure there's like a medic on hand, yeah, you know, yeah. Just in case. We don't want you like passing out and dying.
I had a friend who something like that happened to him once, and we lived in a house with a wooden floor.
Oh yeah.
He he jumped out of bed very quickly, and I just heard and then when I looked at him, his name was Byron. I looked at him, I'm like, Byron. He's still out. And then eventually like shook his head and he came to it. And he's like, I'm sorry, I stood up too quickly. So just make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
to
just
you.
Be careful. All right. That's why, like, there are medics on a film set, so.
In fact, we do not.
I'm just telling you what he did and what he was advised to do if he needed to act drunk.
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah.
I would try it. If I had to act drunk, I would try that.
You can try that. I'll probably try that. But we do not advise any.
Do at your own risk, people. Do not try this at home.
Any. Now point at your camera.
Any.
Of our viewers, please don't do this. But if you want to, give it a try and just comment.
But honestly, I've hated...
Relax your body.
No, but forget the relax your body.
It's not that part.
He said
right?
to yeah, he
just
was like,
bend down,
just bend down just and stand it. Up quickly, like as they say action. Like literally just stand up, because then you'll feel dizzy.
And make sure that there's no one in front of you when you come
up. Oh yeah, no shame. Yeah, but this film,
okay, cool.
As much as I've honestly hated 2022 films, like there's a few exceptions, this film was brilliant. Mm. I thoroughly enjoyed this
does
film.
Does that mean that Sam Rockwell has never been drunk before?
No, I think he has. But as in they say,
but how does he?
They saying on set, you don't get drunk.
How do you act drunk?
Yeah, don't do
and
like
not
as
be
an
drunk.
Actor. It's extremely unprofessional to get drunk
true.
In order to be drunk.
Because you can, you can act drunk and be like silly.
Yeah.
But now you have to like really be.
Yeah. And the thing is, you've got to deliver lines. Yeah. So now you can't be drunk, because like you're working. Okay. Like don't drink
look
on the job.
Look, I tell you what, I'm gonna be a friend. Okay. I'm gonna help you out. Next time you gotta act drunk. All right. I'm gonna give you Johnny Depp's number, because you know. Just hang on, yeah.
Johnny Depp's just used to being drunk.
Johnny Depp. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I've got my own friend name for him. You know, we call each other. You know.
Right. So while Ryan's
Mr. Depp, there he is. There's his number.
That's your friend name, Mr. Depp.
There's his number right there.
Mm-hmm. If you cannot see his number right now, it means you are not watching the
just give
the
him
YouTube
a call.
Show.
He's gonna advise you on there that. I know, because we talk about these things all the time, man.
But having said that, go and watch this film and don't spoil the end for others.
Yeah, like we just didn't. Mm. Very good.
But very good film.
An absolutely entertaining film. Mm.
Loved it.
My kids passed out, so it was really good. But me and my
wiped it.
Thoroughly wiped it.
Nice. Welcome, Ryan. I'm proud of you. Yeah.
You didn't get that one.
I'm sure they got it.
All right.
Yeah. So this has been The Movie Show.
On Active FM.
Peace.
Cheers.
Active FM is everywhere. Go find us and click that button. Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and so much more. See all the fun posts, get involved in interesting discussions, voice your opinions, and get updates by following us on social media. Spread the word. It's that simple. Become part of the family today, because radio has never been better.